I like things my way. My coffee, my schedule, and my treatment. So I talked to my doctor about self-injecting with the VivGuard Hytrulo prefilled syringe, which contains efgartigimod alpha and hyaluronidase QVFC. It's injected under your skin, subcutaneously. It means I can inject in my space, on my time. It's my treatment, my way. Visit VivGuardMyWay.com. That's V-Y-V-G-A-R-T MyWay.com. And talk to your doctor about VivGuard Hytrulo, brought to you by Argenix.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
By law, 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is The Big Breakdown, a long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Lots of comparing going on right now between the Nick Reiner case and the Lindsey Clancy case. And I want to address that in this piece. Before you start repeating that, before I start repeating that, before we start taking a real good hard look at the fact that the only thing we have in common here is a level of mental illness. And that's where the two cases stop being common. Stop having many comparisons. The grand jury added lying in wait to the charges against Nick Reiner. Under California law, that means prosecutors believe he concealed what he was about to do from his own parents, waited for the right moment, and then launched a surprise attack with a specific intent to kill. That allegation describes a brain that is planning and choosing. People are already comparing this case to Lindsey Clancy. Before anyone puts those two names in the same sentence, they need to look at what they're actually putting side by side. One of those people spent 17 years making choices. The other spent months losing the ability to make them. And I welcome your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. Those links are in our description. That's where we'll continue our conversation here. The question isn't whether Nick Reiner's brain was broken. The question is whether a brain that chose destruction for 17 straight years suddenly stopped choosing on December 14th. Nick Reiner went to his first rehab facility around his 15th birthday, I should say. By the time he turned 22, he'd been through 17 or 18 stays. He said so himself in interviews he gave to promote a semi-autobiographical movie he co-wrote about the experience. He used heroin, cocaine, and meth. He says in a 2016 interview that he was a spoiled white rich kid from a Hollywood family and that the drugs were so powerful, he didn't care about any of the privilege or money. He knew what he had and he chose to throw it all away for the next high. When he refused to say it in treatment, he chose homelessness. That was his world. And that's what he chose. It wasn't anyone else's decision. He told an interview he'd been homeless in Maine, New Jersey, and Texas by choice. When I was out there, I could have died, he said. It's all luck. He wasn't describing a medical crisis. He was describing the consequences of a choice he made repeatedly, the choice to refuse treatment. Sources say he stopped going to recovery meetings because he called them too cultish. 18 rehab stays and three states of homelessness by the time he was 22 years old. Every fork in the road he took, every single one led him further from help. Nick Reiner lived in his parents' guest house on their Brentwood property. Sources say he destroyed it more than once, that the guest house became a revolving door throughout his life. on a podcast in 2018. He laughed while describing one of those times. I got totally spun out on uppers, is what he said. I think it was coke and something else. I was up for days on end, man. Woo! He described destroying the guest house piece by piece on a drug binge, starting with the television, then the lamp, then everything else in the room. Everything in the guest house got wrecked, he said. When the host asked if the violence was a way to release tension, Nick answered in two words, no logic. He acknowledged his parents had told him he had to leave before the rampage. He couldn't even remember whether he'd hurt himself. Sources say he bragged about how he could get away with anything. Sources say he took money from his parents for drugs and showed no remorse. Sources say he threatened his sister when she confronted him about his behavior. His parents gave him the ultimatum again and again. Take your medication and stop using or move out. Sources say they threatened to call the police more than once, and they never did. The revolving door kept spinning. A family friend quoted in reporting after the killing said Nick's outburst had been violent enough to require physical restraint as far back as age 11, held in bear hugs to keep him from hurting himself or others. This had been building for most of his life. Sources say Nick Reiner was diagnosed with schizophrenia or schizoaffective disorder around 2020. A judge placed him under an LPS conservatorship, a court order in California that allows involuntary psychiatric treatment when a person is gravely disabled or a danger to themselves or others. Getting one requires a doctor, a licensed fiduciary, and a judge to all agree that this person can't safely manage on their own. And in California, you have to renew it every single year. And in California, the way it is set up is that, well, we can kick you off this conservatorship at basically any time you show the ability to feed yourself. The bar is so damn low. That's why you can't keep them in California. Because basically, if the person is able to pick up a fork and put food in their mouth, well, they're competent enough to not need a conservatorship anymore. That's literally the bar. The conservatorship ran from 2020 to 2021 and then ended. Nobody has publicly explained why it wasn't renewed, other than the fact that California doesn't renew them. That's why it wasn't renewed. Because unless he was in a catatonic state in the corner, shaking and not replying or responding to things, you're not going to get it renewed in California. That means for roughly 4 years before the killings, Nick Reiner was no longer under any court-ordered oversight for a diagnosis that already required the state to intervene once. Sources say his medication was changed roughly 3 to 4 weeks before the killings. The prescription had reportedly been working, was switched because of the side effects. He was gaining weight. Not like you're having psychotic delusions. Not this really makes me not feel like it was, I just put on a couple extra pounds. Damn. Wasn't exactly a mother trying to gain control of her faculties and the way she's able to interact with herself and the world as her body struggles to find itself again after giving birth to three children. Going from doctor to doctor, begging for help, begging for treatment. Wasn't exactly that. Not exactly a apples to apples comparison, one may say. And people like to go to that one too. Sources say medical professionals explicitly warned Rob and Michelle not to let Nick stay in the home until his medication was stabilized. And you can say that all you want, but if you provide zero ways to actually exercise that warning, or just say, yeah, figure it out on your own, people aren't always going to figure those things out on their own. People don't always have the resources to get those things done. Now, Rob and Michelle, did they? Yeah, they. If anybody had the resources financially to hire basically a babysitter for Nick, it was them. Should they have had to? Did they? No. Do most people in these sort of situations? No. Even with the resources. Because there's good days and there's bad days. And they're human. And they've been through this with him their entire lives. And so far, he hasn't killed anybody. And for most people, that's good enough. Because the battle isn't usually he's going to kill somebody. It's usually he's going to do it to himself. And so far, we're keeping him alive. That's usually the fear. That's very likely what Robin Michelle Reiner were thinking. A second source confirmed doctors told the parents the switch could trigger even more erratic behavior. Robin Michelle let him stay anyway. They were his parents, and they were still trying to save him. They loved their son. And I'm not faulting them for that by any means. I have never been in a position that they have been in. I hope to God I never have to be. I cannot tell you how I would handle that because I have never been there, and I'm not going to pretend I would know. I can guess, but that's one of those where that mountain summit up there is so damn high and so far away, at least as parents, we hope it is. If there's no signs of this in our lives, and when we see it on the outside, someone else's struggles like this was, it's a summit way over there. It is a possibility that the path in life to which I tread down, could it lead me there? Could I end up being a parent where I have a child? Yeah, any of us who have children could end up there. We don't know where life is going to lead all of us. We can't predict the future. There are horrible things that happen in life. There are great things that happen in life. Sometimes we end up in summits we don't expect to get to. But I'm not going to pretend from this perspective over here that I can tell you what it's like to live over on that one. On December 13th, the night before the killings, Rob and Michelle brought Nick to a holiday party at Conan O'Brien's house. Sources say they brought him specifically to keep an eye on him. Two parents so worried about their adult son, they couldn't leave him alone for the evening. One guest said Nick was freaking everyone out, acting crazy, kept asking people if they were famous. Newsflash, everyone there is famous. Multiple sources say he got into a very loud argument with his father. He was asked to leave the party. Rob and Michelle told friends that night they were worried about their son's mental state. That was a Saturday night. The next afternoon, their daughter, Romy, found Rob and Michelle Reiner in the master bedroom of their Brentwood home. Rob was 78, Michelle was 70. Both had been stabbed to death. Nick was arrested that evening near the University of South Carolina, a California campus, miles from his parents' home, and charged with two counts of first-degree murder. The grand jury indictment that added lying in wait was returned on July 20th and unsealed August 12th when Nick pled not guilty. The defense is going to argue the medication change broke him. Sources close to the case have already described what happened as a complete break from reality. Alan Jackson, the defense attorney who initially represented Nick before withdrawing in January, said publicly that Nick Reiner is not guilty of murder. Under California law, that's the insanity defense. On paper, there's a version of this case where a medication change 3 weeks before December 14th sent a man with diagnosed schizophrenia into a psychotic episode he couldn't control. That's what the defense will argue. And then the jury will hear everything else. The prosecution's answer is lying in wait, concealment of purpose, hiding what you're about to do from the people who trust you, watching and waiting, choosing the right moment to act. A surprise attack from a position of advantage and specific intent to kill, not to hurt, not to frighten, but to end a life. Those four elements describe a sequence of deliberate actions, and every one of them requires a functioning brain. After 17 years of watching this man choose a path that served himself and destroyed everyone around him, the prosecution's allegation that he concealed his intentions and waited for the right moment doesn't sound like a legal theory. It sounds like the last choice in a lifetime of choices. Lindsay Clancy chose to have her children. She chose to see her doctors. She chose to take her medication that they prescribed. She chose to ask for help when she felt herself slipping. The providers changed her medications. The providers adjusted the doses. Clancy was cycling through prescriptions because the doctors kept trying new combinations, and Lindsay kept showing up to every appointment and taking every pill they gave her. She was the patient following their instructions, trying to be the mother she wanted to be while her brain was coming apart underneath her. She didn't destroy a guest house and laugh about it on a podcast. She didn't threaten her family. She didn't brag about what she could get away with. She didn't refuse treatment 18 times and choose the street instead. She sat in doctor's offices and said something is wrong, and the system she trusted couldn't get there fast enough. After she harmed her children, she tried to end her own life and act consistent with someone whose brain had broken, not someone making a calculated decision. Nick Reiner made choices for 17 years. Lindsay Clancy spent months losing the ability to make them. One of those people has a record of choosing. The other has a record of suffering. The grand jury added lying in wait because prosecutors believe Nick Reiner was planning, concealing, and choosing on December 14th. Everything in his history says that's what he did. In every setting, with every person who tried to help him for 17 years. The question his defense will have to answer is a question every person listening is already asking. When did this man ever stop choosing? So there you go. There's the difference. The next time somebody brings it up, they're just alike, aren't they? No, they're not. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. Links are in the description. We will continue our conversation right there. If you've not done so yet, press subscribe to the podcast. The QR code is right there on the screen. Just scan it and go to Spotify or Apple Podcast. Hit subscribe or just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi wherever you get podcasts and press subscribe. All right. We appreciate that. Until next time, my name is Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Green.
Well, aren't you glad we came to a conclusion where the whole country gets together and goes, we all see it the same way. The Lindsay Clancy case. Oh, wait, that didn't happen. The trial ended, obviously, without a verdict. Online, everybody seems completely certain, though, in their point of view. Not only about Lindsay Clancy, but anyone who sees the case differently than themselves. A man online claims he called off his $200,000 wedding after his fiancée told him that as a man, he could never fully understand postpartum mental illness. His takeaway was that he had almost married a monster. Whether that's real or not is up for debate. But this is happening. Relationships are fracturing. People are at each other based on their opinions on this case. Maybe that story is real. Maybe it's a social media theater. Either way, the reaction is real. We've reached a point where disagreeing about this case apparently tells people everything they need to know about your morality, your marriage, and whether you're safe to be around. We're going to be getting into that today on this program. Because we need to. Siobhan Scott is with us, psychotherapist and author, as well as Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. Siobhan, what is it about the Lindsay Clancy case that makes people need such a clean, absolute answer here? I mean, the deaths were horrific. The mental health evidence was complicated. Even the jury couldn't agree. What does that uncertainty? Why does that uncertainty make people so angry at one another?
Isn't it weird? I have just had to stay off social media. Well, I do try to monitor the buzz on social media, but I get so frustrated. I just have to log off because of the viciousness and this emotional intensity. My term of the day is moralization as identity fusion.
Write that down.
Yeah, and this is where people have bought into a story, whichever, and they're making it two sides, and it's all about their moral identity. And so when they see somebody that has a different point of view, it's not that we just you know, maybe can discuss this and come to a conclusion and maybe we'll agree to disagree. It's like my identity is tied up in this position I've taken and you're evil. You know, I'm the crusader for righteousness. It's all about righteousness and it's volatile. And I mean, I even saw it on Instagram. I don't know if it was on TikTok or not, but somebody yesterday, I believe, who had obviously a cloned voice of Patrick's father. I mean, you can do AI cloning now with anybody's voice and make them say anything. And the quality was really bad. And they had no good explanation for how they got this, saying that Patrick had done it. And fortunately, there was some pushback on that. I had to comment on that and say, do you know anything about voice cloning and how easy this is to do?
Of course not.
Yeah, of course not. But you have to wonder, what is this crusade, this moral crusade with these two sides? It's you know, I thought we had seen as bad as it could get around politics in recent years, right? I think this has even more intensity than the political debates on social media.
It does. And I want to talk about that with Patrick a bit. Patrick's attorney has released a statement basically saying, we're going to go after you if you're saying that he did this. And that's in a nutshell. And I've been saying good for weeks. I think we were probably the first show that came out with an attorney on the air and said, how should Patrick start suing people? And like, I fully, and because it's insane. It's utterly insane. We've purposely made headlines on this show about people's curiosity on Patrick so they can, oh, maybe Patrick did do something. Then they watch it and, oh, sorry, blew that out of the water for you. It ain't true. Mm-hmm. And I think that's good because it gets people to hear what reality actually is. But why is that with Patrick? People like taking fake audio and sharing it as if it's fact, taking conjecture about his life that isn't even based on reality or fact. And we got a whole segment about Patrick we'll get to, so I don't want to go too far down there. But it just seems... It's nuts. People are, it's the celebrity. I'm disconnected from you enough, even though Patrick's not a celebrity, but he's a public figure now because of this case. They're disconnected from this being a human being. So we can say whatever the hell we want online with no repercussion and it doesn't matter. It doesn't affect anybody. People often forget Patrick's sitting there with a device too. And he's reading the shit people are saying about him. Yeah. And he has compassion and he has a soul and he lost his three children. Mm-hmm. And people are like, you killed them. I mean, there's this disconnect that we as humans somehow readily have where it seems a switch flips and we decide who's human and who's not.
Very much, very much. The dehumanization process. And I still see, I keep hoping it's going to die down, but it doesn't die down. It's this gender war where, you know, there are women who are so angry at men because of their own baggage that Patrick is a representation of every man who did them wrong, every man who was manipulative. And I think it's the same thing for men with every conniving woman that they've ever known and all these issues they have with women. And they take that emotional energy, it's their own baggage, but they take that, they project it out, and they're not looking at the humanity. You know, Patrick is not a human being. Lindsay is not a human being. And they become these figures that people just hate. And then anybody that's trying to say, but let's consider this, let's look at them as people. Well, you're the enemy too. And then you get the hate.
I got one more follow-up. Robin, I know I'm stepping up because I know you always have great questions, but I'm doing follow-ups here because I there's some good stuff going on here. Okay, the baggage. And I get that. I get how people will project their shit out there and then it's more of a reflection on themselves. And I get that on cases where like the person actually deserves it, where the person is a representation of all those shitty people in your life. Corey Richens was a great one. A lot of my own baggage came out in that case where I was just like, whoa, but it was earned. She was a great representation of a menacing, conniving, borderline sociopath. Mm-hmm. And I happen to have had some of those in my life. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us have. And so I get it where it's deserved and the dots connect. Patrick, where are they been connecting these dots? I mean, that's like, just like slight slight things that he may have. He went out for a time with his friends to take a break from life with Lindsay. He went on a business. It's like just normal everyday shit that people actually do. People are like going, see what's going on with the projection here. It doesn't land with Patrick. Yeah. I think that's what's getting me about people projecting their shit onto Patrick is it doesn't land because Patrick's not that villain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it shows you how irrational the thinking is and all the confirmation bias. It's like once they've taken a side in social media and, you know, you get hundreds and hundreds of people validating your side, you buy into this story. Mm-hmm. Patrick is evil and or Lindsay is evil, whichever direction they're going. And then the facts absolutely don't matter. And everything they see confirms, you know, because they can twist it into something completely bizarre. But everybody chimes in and says, yeah, you're right. And look at this and look at that. And it's all confirmation bias, which is a terrible mm-hmm. cognitive trap to fall into. Because then you can take anything ambiguous and turn it into more proof, you know, and then you've got that moral crusader thing going. And anybody who tries to say, but that doesn't make sense, here's another point of view. Well, you're evil too, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've had so much confirmation bias in a lot of the cases we cover because, you know, people typically will lock on to that theory at the very beginning, at the onset, and they hold on to it all their might. Everything they're going to take in confirms what they already suspected or what they believe and now know, a lot of it moralizing, obviously, from the very get-go. And they throw all critical thinking completely out the window. I mean, we use that term so much on our show, critical thinking, which requires a lot of curiosity. Mm-hmm. We've seen it more in this case than we've seen it in any other case before, more than we've seen it politically. I totally agree. This to me overshadows any battle between Democrats and Republicans I've ever seen, just because it's so much more vitriol and it's so less based on facts a lot of times. And it's not just facts themselves, because people have been saying, well, I just work with the facts. You might be looking at facts, but your interpretation of them is now being shifted and manipulated for your own confirmation bias, both your assessment before, your assessment now of it, and your projection of them in the future. So with this emotional hijacking that everyone's going through, the most profound thing to me right now is how are we functioning as a society with a bunch of morons that are... Because no one's thinking. So Siobhan, I mean, so when the free... prefrontal cortex gets loaded and adrenaline's flowing and all the hormones are going and you get into stupid brain. At this level, what brings it back, if anything? I mean, so I just think of all these amazing people that brought us to where we are in society, of where we are today, the technology we have, the gadgets we have. I'm thinking to myself, who the hell was able to make these things? Because a lot of the people that we're seeing online, I can't imagine these people can work themselves out of a paper bag. They're so wrapped up in their own crap. Okay. So have they always been this way and they were able to hide it? Was this an emotional hijacking moment where they go into crazy brain and will it come back down again? I mean, so how is this going to play out in the future? Or are they just now completely locked into Nutterville?
I would love to have the answer to that because, boy, in the initial, you know, when we first started to see this rolling online, I would really pop in and try to say, but that doesn't make sense because, quickly gave up for the most part. But how to help this die down? I mean, I was really hoping when the trial was finished, we'd start to see it diminish, and it's just not diminishing. It's just sort of like this rolling kind of momentum going. I did have, I'm just kind of pleased. I did have a person who's normally very thoughtful on my Facebook friends list, and we do have admiration for each other. And he did, obviously had not followed the case, but had a very strong opinion that he posted the other day and said, Lindsay Clancy should fry for what she did. And I thought, okay, because I know this person. And my approach was to say, you know, heart disease happens to any of us. A a brain disease can happen to any of us. Mm-hmm. I know a little bit about this because brain diseases have happened to people I love in my family. And there, but for the grace of God, it could be us. Mm-hmm. And that stopped him. And he wrote back, posted back and said, you know what? I know you know more about this than I do, so I defer to you.
Nobody does that anymore.
Nobody
That's
does
the
that.
The problem.
You know, yeah. I'll give a lot of credit to my wife. I said it last week, I think, or a week before. You know, she gave me this great thought experiment. We were talking about this case and, you know, one of the fiery comments we had from someone, or I was getting blasted on something because I said, Patrick, you know, was doing right by Lindsay by the things he was saying, even though he's not like standing side by side with her. He's actually telling the facts and details that they, like, in his paraphrase in own words, it was all going great until she got sick. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, that's a very good, accurate phraseology, not mm-hmm. for and against. She got sick. It's not who she was. And my wife said, and this is a good thought experiment for people that don't get it, that think she should fry. If, and again, there's an if and or statement going on in here, and that is, if you actually are in a good, solid relationship with a spouse or partner, and you've been there for a while, say 10 years, and you have children together, and it's a good, healthy relationship, and you enjoy your children, enjoy your wife, everyone is copacetic, and you get along with your in-laws and your own parents, it's a good, steady family. If the most horrendous thing in the world happens, and that partner of yours winds up killing your kids, is your first thought that you have, because you knew this person for so long, so close, good, healthy relationship, is your first thought that you have, they should fry? Or who the hell was that? Yeah. They weren't in their right mind. Something went horribly wrong. My wife said that to me. She said, if, God forbid, anything like that happened and you did this, I'd say something went seriously wrong with you. We got to get you checked out. The devastation aside, all that, the tragedy of it all, but she knows that is not me. Something was tragically wrong. And so if for those people projecting fry, pure evil, just besides looking at all the amazing psychology, everyone says that they're all over the place. I thought the psychologists and psychiatrists on this are actually pretty good. You know, the ones after Tufts, and that is, all of them said she was sick. Mm-hmm. The degree of it, of bipolar 1 or 2, you know, varied, psychotic break or not psychotic break, but all of them said she was severely depressed. All of them said she had severe insomnia. Everyone said that the medications were or weren't working. All of them said that she was not malingering, that she was under-reporting rather than over-reporting. Yep. All of them were saying this. So all of them were saying that she was sick. So I still don't get the argument. I still don't get the problem.
Is it a reflection of, and I've noticed this, I would say over the last 20 years pretty well, we used to be a society that did somewhat put weight on expert opinion. That when we had a question, we would go to an expert to get information, to get answers, to find direction for whatever may be ailing us or whatever question we want to have answered. Since the world of social media, it feels like the weight of the expert opinion or the educated opinion, I guess you could say. I think educated may be a better word than expert. Educated, someone with experience and reps in a certain area. Yeah. That has gone down because suddenly it's just as easy to pick up what Uncle Phil thinks, you know, or your cousin, you know, Petula in Paducah, what she thinks, and then somehow that opinion, our brains are registering to have just as much weight as maybe an expert in that field, someone who knows postpartum depression, psychosis, and medicine, and everything that goes along with it. Is this a real problem of our brains not being able to decipher the difference between opinion that is just that opinion from anybody, whatever, it can say anything, it doesn't necessarily hold weight, versus reps, versus mm-hmm. I know what I'm talking about, here's where this comes from. We used to base our opinions over here on people who have reps. Mm-hmm. That's been taken out of the equation. Now mm-hmm. it's just, we base our opinions on wherever the wind blows and whoever picked up whatever tweet or whatever algorithm fed our way that morning. That seems to be where I think a lot of the root of this is coming from is the lack of understanding and taking into account facts and data that actually matter, not just Petula's opinion.
And to the point that we're talking about, you know, Bina on here saying, I can't listen to this. That's exactly why you don't get it, because you refuse to open your mind. And she killed three kids. Yeah, she killed three kids. She should be locked up. What we're no one here, no one on the side of standing with the mental health crisis that she was in is saying she should be free. No one. So this is where you got to open your mouth. I mean, close your mouth, open those ears, and learn a little bit more about what other people are saying about this, that you had something severely mentally wrong going on here. She should be locked up. Maybe forever. That's not for me to decide. It's for the legal system. And stay in Tewksbury where she's been for the last 3+ years. Right. So everyone's acknowledging all these things. It's just saying, it's like, what got us here so it doesn't get repeated again and again and again? Because nothing has changed since Andrea Yates. I looked at that case. I looked at did the baseline of parental filicide change since that case? No, it has not. So... unfortunately, I think we're going to be repeating it because I can't listen to this. Three kids died. You should burn. Well, go crawl back under your rock.
And there was a comment that's exactly what we're talking about. I saw a few minutes ago that men have hormones too, but a man would never get away with this by blaming hormones. Nobody is blaming hormones. We're blaming bipolar disorder and psychosis. Hormones could have been a trigger for a deterioration in functioning, but we're talking about severe mental illness, not PMS. But again, somebody's got a bias and they're interpreting it despite all the evidence about what the experts have said about what was really going on mentally for a person in psychosis.
Mm-hmm. Does it also just come down, Siobhan, at the end of the day, some people just aren't equipped for complex thought.
Right.
It's not to say somebody who I disagree with on this is a bad person. I'm not saying that. But some people, that's not how their brain works. Mm-hmm. It's not how they were. It's not the DNA they have. They didn't have. It's not how it fires. Is that just the flat out reality that we live in a society with a lot of people that think very differently, and some are further capable of complex thought and taking all of these things in, processing it, and coming out with a conclusion, and some are just overwhelmed by all this information. They can't process it in any sort of conducive way that's going to produce a clear thought, so it just becomes scary and overloading, and she needs to burn.
Yeah. I think there is that tendency to go for a simple story, because certainty, I know what it is and I understand it, when in fact they don't. They didn't watch the trial. They don't understand the experts. They have no clue. But certainty is emotionally comforting, even when it's not intellectually justified.
Yeah.
And I think we're seeing a lot of that. They just like a simple story because it's a very clear black and white thing. And then the other piece of that is, if we acknowledge mental illness can happen, and someone who's essentially a good, normal person can do something terrible, that means that could be any of us. And people don't want to think that way. They want to think that they're in control of their brain. That's a human tendency, right? We all want to think we're in control of ourselves and our behavior. But unfortunately, there are exceptions to that.
And it's not a simple story. This is the most unsimple story you could possibly have, because you have to do so many things at the same time. I can't do it. In complete honesty, I struggle with this case because I can hold in one hand the horrendous murder of her three children. Like everyone, all the people that are anti-Lindsay on here have been saying, 100%, I'm not pro-Lindsay. I'm pro-mental health in this, and that there was a psychotic break. And which Dr. Halbrin also said on there, because he had two theories, that this was not her that anyone knew in her life. So something had to severely happen to deviate from her life pattern as testified by everyone in her life, both from the prosecution and defense. And that was, it was either a postpartum psychosis and a psychotic break that occurred, which includes the people that obviously haven't been following anything, the planning that went into this. But also it could be that severe depression, S-ideization, and altruistic filicide, which could lead to exactly the same outcome, as well as it can also be not guilty by reason of insanity or not criminally culpable for those actions. So both can be the same. So you have the one side there, and then I have the other side of me says, well, if this happened in any in a lot of other states, states that actually have the defense, but is actually the burden is actually on the defense to prove that she's insane rather than the prosecution having to prove it, like as in this case, or she's in one of the four states that actually doesn't even have this defense. And so there, this we wouldn't be having this discussion. So that's the complicated part, because having to hold these two truths that it wasn't her, but at the same time, she killed him. That's the hard part. And so that's why we're having this discussion, because everyone is still sane at the end of the day, locked up, but in psychiatric treatment where we can learn from it. She can maybe get better, but I'm more about the learning from this so we don't repeat the pattern that keeps happening again and again and again.
Yeah.
Very, very
that,
much.
And I think that is what, for whatever reason, is missed on so many people thinking about this. It's you don't care about the kids.
And that's
the weird part about this. People hear compassion for Lindsay and immediately decide, some people do, immediately decide that means you don't care, and then they name the children. This is how every post works. Yeah. What about Cora, Dawson, and Callan? That's already implied because that's the topic. Like, I'm not going to keep bringing their names up over and over and over. It doesn't further the discussion about the mental health crisis that the mom was in. All that does is evoke emotion and does not make us actually focus on the problem that occurred here. Mm-hmm. But it's not a fair comparison when people hear compassion for Lindsay and think that you don't care
or,
about the kids. But that, but it's like it's black and white for so many.
And you can actually not have compassion for Lindsay. A lot of, which is I think that's fine. If you don't have compassion for Lindsay, then why don't you keep holding on to let's fix this shit?
Well, I mean, how did compassion become a limited resource here,
right?
As though acknowledging mental illness somehow takes something away from the children, Siobhan.
Exactly. It's not a finite pie, you know? It's not like, well, if you give a piece away here, that there's just nothing left. And understanding the reason for something is not the same as excusing what happened.
No.
You know? And you can hold both truths at the same time.
Yes.
That she did something terrible, and we still have compassion for the children, and at least come to an intellectual understanding of why she did it. And what does this mean? And how do we move forward in the future? So we can have compassion for everyone who has a mental health condition. And that's really the healthy way to go here. Not this rage, punishment, creating monsters, creating teams. Which side are you on? And then you hate everybody who doesn't agree with you. It's very disturbing to see that yes, the complexity of the case, it just goes right over people's heads, and they have the confirmation bias going, and they see themselves as moral crusaders. It's disturbing.
So how does someone like that, that is on that maker, you know, she should burn, no compassion and all that, if you ask the question, because everything, the brain starts opening up with that one question. I haven't been able to ask this one yet, but for those people that are raging in the comments, what do you want to happen from here? Do you want this to ever happen again? And if you don't want this, so that's the question. Do you ever want this to happen again? No? Then what's the best way to not let this happen again? Is it to let her burn and not learn from it? Or is it do something so you can learn from it? Again, you don't have to have empathy or compassion for Lindsay or anyone else at all on this if you don't want to. And focus on the children. If you don't want this to happen to children again, what's the best idea and things you can do right now that everyone can do to not let this happen again? That's it.
Well, I think it comes from the same way of thinking where people are thinking it's going to happen regardless. No matter what, you know, we can put barriers in place, we can be more aware, but there's still going to be people to get through. Yeah, there are. This will happen again. There will be more people. But It's that
baseline.
Same group who also refuses to do anything preventative, to put the speed bumps in place so people aren't running people over in the Kmart parking lot. It's like, well, you know, will people still speed through there and bottom out their car on the speed bumps? Yes, they will. Mm-hmm. But you know what? There's going to be far fewer of them because they're going to go a little bit slower next time because they know those speed bumps are there. Same thing here. If you can lower the percentage of the people that are going to have to go through this because we're trying to
raise awareness for this so people can make better choices and assist people in a more effective way down the road. Those speed bumps, that extra awareness will save lives. Will it save everybody's? No. But to throw the baby out with the bathwater and say, screw it, it's going to happen no matter what, is about the most ignorant thing anyone could say after observing this trial. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and
there's
and
my soapbox.
That's a good one. That's a good one. I think one of the things that I am sure is going to come out of this is that mental health clinicians are going to be paying closer attention, yeah. right? Because nobody wants to be the therapist that didn't catch this. And I think not to say that the therapists were so negligent that they didn't catch anything. You know, they were trying, but they weren't spending enough time, and they weren't looking deep enough, and there were too many medications, not the right medications. We've talked about that. And I think there are lessons learned for people who work in the mental health field, and I think that's going to make a difference moving into the future.
No, so I'm going to throw in here, I think X19 on here doesn't want kids to ever, wants kids to have this happen to them again, because they keep coming back with all the ifs, what this. And I just looked it up right now. There has not been any shift in the baseline of filicide since they've been recording it. And so every single time we face one of these cases and they're just thrown away and we haven't learned, we let them burn. And even in the case where Andrea Yates was tried twice and actually was still behind bars and she got not guilty by reason of insanity, we haven't learned enough because we're not preventing it from happening, because we have a lot of people saying, just burn, let them rot. And we're not learning from it, and you're not treating the situation with compassion, really focusing. So focus, like everyone keeps saying, you want to focus on the victims? Let the victims serve as an example of what we shouldn't let happen in our system, which happened here. And it's going to happen again unless we learn and study her. She wants to be studied. She wants people to learn from her because she knows she's broken. Good. Throw behind bars and let's study her in the place which is suited for it, not general population.
Hopefully there's enough people on this planet where there are those safeguards in place. So when something does inevitably happen to people who are denying it or people that are close to them, they can be protected and not have to be at the means of those who want to deny mental health. Your thoughts in the comments section on Substack and YouTube. We'll continue our conversation there.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Plus, terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.